next on Telling the Truth with Stuart and Joel Briscoe.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about parables for a minute. Why did Jesus use parables? What are they? And when you come to the parable, you always need to look for those two things. What's the story? What does it say? And what's the point? And then apply it to your life. What Jesus knew and taught, he lived. Jesus knew the heaven of a perfectly obedient and loving life. Jesus knew the heaven of a perfectly obedient and loving life. And through his earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, he shows us how we can know such a heavenly life too.
Today on Telling the Truth, Joel Briscoe unpacks the parables of Jesus to help you apply God's truth to your life like never before. But first, did you know the book of Revelation is meant to encourage you in turbulent times? It's a fascinating but mysterious book. It's apocalyptic, prophetic, and pastoral all at once. And we want to help you dive into its encouraging message by sending you Stuart Briscoe's series, End Times, What's Going On? It's our thanks for your financial support to keep this broadcast going strong. So call today to request your copy and uncover God's plan for the end times. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now here's Joel Briscoe with her insightful message, Obeying the Truth.
Well, now, I'd like you to open your Bibles at Matthew chapter 7. And I'm continuing in this series that follows the theme, Behold the Treasure, Discover the Riches. And as I thought about that and where to go in the scriptures to take the messages that I have the privilege of bringing under this umbrella theme, I immediately thought of the treasure buried in the field. And Jesus saying, the kingdom of God is like, and using a parable of a man who figured out there was a treasure in a field, sold everything he had in order to possess it. And I thought, that's what I'll do. I'll take parables, hidden treasure, and we will work on discovering it together. The kingdom of God is the spiritual sphere where Christ is king. Anywhere that Christ is king is the kingdom of God. So the Bible says, well, the kingdom of God is coming in the future, true. But Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is within you. When the king comes within, the kingdom of God is within you. He also said when he was here physically in that Galilean body, the kingdom of God is among you. John Baptist said, the king is coming. This is the king, the Lamb of God. The king is coming. It is among us. And in a true sense, 2,000 years ago, the kingdom of God came among men in the person of Jesus Christ, the king of that kingdom. And Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom, talked about the rules of the kingdom. He talked about living in the kingdom. He talked about entering the kingdom. He talked about enjoying the kingdom. He talked about experiencing the kingdom. So anywhere that Christ is king is the kingdom of God. And if we follow the rules and the principles he lays down, we can experience that kingdom now. We do not have to wait to go to heaven and experience the kingdom of heaven when we die. Heaven can come down and glory can fill our soul in the person of Jesus, our Savior. And so when he comes into our life, the kingdom of God is within us. Now, each parable that we'll look at gives some of the principles of living in this spiritual sphere. Now, we looked at the buried treasure, and then we looked at the pearl of great price. And, of course, the pearl is Jesus, the jewel of heaven. Now, I want to talk a little bit about parables for a minute. Why did Jesus use parables? What are they? Well, they're a form of teaching. They're employed by prophets, by people in the Old Testament, as well as people in the New Testament. And specifically Jesus. It was always enjoyed by everybody because everybody likes stories. Young people like stories. And old people like stories. In fact, there is a genre of preaching now that has gone almost exclusively to storytelling and not to didactic teaching, not to homily, not to exegetical preaching, to the exclusion of every other type of teaching. Jesus did both. He did all types of teaching, but he leaned heavily on parable for many reasons. I call it Jesus art. He was the master storyteller of all times. It was characteristic of his method of teaching. Mark 4:34, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. He spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. In other words, I can define a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, which is still one of the best definitions I've ever heard. An earthly or earthy story with a heavenly meaning. And a true Jesus parable always has a heavenly meaning that's drawn from the earthly story. But I still think it's Jesus' art. Stories stick, and he knew it. And perhaps later, the heavy or heavenly meaning will get through to people that had listened to the story. Perhaps. Maybe they'd take it home and say, do you know what I heard the teacher, the preacher, Jesus, say today, and tell the family around the table at night. And maybe as the story was told, they'd start and say, what do you think he meant? What do you think he meant? And it would spark interest. He spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He wanted them to dig for it like treasure in a field. He wanted them to be earnest. He didn't want to just lay out the treasures of God so people could trample over them or listen if they wanted to. He wanted them to work a little bit at it. And so he used parables, hidden treasures, for those who are intent on finding the real meaning of life and a foundation for that life. When you think about it, Jesus' most memorable things or stories are known by people today that haven't even read the Bible. The prodigal son. What about the Good Samaritan? So some of Jesus' most memorable teaching comes from parable. So parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Secondly, parables walked the streets of life. And that's why they were so effective. They walked the streets of Jesus' life. And the lives of the hearers that he talked to. The life of his day poured through golden gateways into the city of his soul, there to be changed by a divine alchemy into matchless parable, says a book I've been reading, wonderful book, written at the beginning of the century on the parables of Jesus. The life of his day poured through golden gateways into the city of his soul, there to be changed by a divine alchemy into matchless parable. And when you think about it, that's true. The life that he lived and that his hearers lived. Think of the parables. They talk about the poor homes of his land, baker's bread, patching clothes, barns bursting with harvest, the unseemly scrambling for the best seats in the feasts of the mighty. Stories that had walked the streets of his life. And you know, sermons, homilies, rhetoric, argument may fail. But parables are like a window. And this is another incredible quote from this man, Butterick. There can be no logic to prove the spiritual. There can be only the prophet's opening of a window in the hope that clay-shuttered eyes may find it a magic casement looking out upon the mountains of God. The parables are spoken by Jesus with such a window. Let me say that again. So rich. There can be no logic to prove the spiritual. And those of you that have tried arguing with people say it's true. Emotions are not impacted by facts. Some people feel so deeply about religion. You can come out with the facts and there's no impact because emotions are not usually impacted by facts, by logic. There can be no logic to prove the spiritual. There can be only the prophet's opening of a window in the hope that clay-shuttered eyes may find it a magic casement, looking out upon the mountains of God. The parables are spoken by Jesus with such a window. It was a word picture. And in a very tiny little way, that is one of the tools I use most in my teaching of the Bible. I love to use word pictures that people can remember. And people do. The opening of a window. And actually, I have been doing a fascinating thing with these parables of Jesus, the parables of the kingdom. I've been looking at every one and realizing that I haven't found one yet that probably was not an incident that people actually had been involved in. Like the one we're going to look at today, the house built on the rock or the sand. Remember, Jesus was a builder. Was he talking about something that everybody knew about in Nazareth? These two wonderful houses that Jesus and his brothers had built from the carpenter's shop for people. And one had insisted on putting it on the solid rock. And if you've been to Israel, you know the whole land is one big chunk of rock. Or somebody that had said, no, I want my house down in Galilee on the sand. I want to be on the ocean. And that's where I want you to build it. Yes, I know what you say about the foundation, Jesus, but that's where I want my house. And had, in fact, the storm come and the house on the rock stood firm and the one on Galilee collapsed in a miserable heap? Probably. So parables have walked the streets of life. And take a lesson from that. All the teachable moments about God and Jesus and the kingdom of heaven can come through stories. Stories read, stories told. Yes, they can.
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. She's headed right back to the parables of Christ for more on how you can apply God's truth to your life. But before we dive back in, if you ever wonder what the end times hold for humanity, there's no better place to look than the book of Revelation. And while many shy away from this mysterious book of the Bible, it contains so much encouragement for you today. We want to help you uncover the mystery of the end times with Stuart's 8-message series, End Times, What's Going On? In this long-awaited series, Stuart dives into the Apostle John's writings in Revelation to help you make sense of this mysterious book of the Bible. You'll uncover the key promises it contains for the end times and how its prophetic words can strengthen your faith today. End Times is our thanks for your gift today to help more people experience life in Christ through the ministry of Telling the Truth. So call today to request your copy of the series when you give to help more people experience life. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Now, let's hear from Jill Briscoe.
Jesus' heart is seen in the parables. The heart of the father for the prodigal son, the heart of the shepherd finding his lost sheep, the heart of the good Samaritan for the one in the ditch. Butterick again, the knowledge that these incomparable stories is to know the teaching of Jesus and the heart of the teacher. To know the teaching of Jesus is to know the heart of the teacher. To know the teaching of Jesus is to know the heart of the teacher. Jesus, his father, they're in so many of the parables of the kingdom of God. Well, of course, he's the king of the kingdom. So Jesus intended people to hear, the story sticks, they begin to dig into it because they have learned that Jesus' parables, earthly stories, always have a heavenly point. And they began to get it. Oh, he's going to tell another story. Now, what's the point here? And when you come to the parable, you always need to look for those two things. What's the story? What does it say? And what's the point? And then apply it to your life. What Jesus knew and taught, he lived. Jesus knew the heaven of a perfectly obedient and loving life. Jesus knew the heaven of a perfectly obedient and loving life. And through his earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, he shows us how we can know such a heavenly life too. The heaven of a perfectly obedient and loving life. Can you experience heaven down here on earth? Yes. When you're lovingly obedient to the King of the kingdom. So let's look at this parable in Matthew 7 and see what we can learn. Why use parables? Jesus' art shows us that we can use the same thing, shows us Jesus' heart as well. Very familiar parable in chapter 7, starting at 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it has its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Another translation has, in total ruin. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Now, when you come up to a parable in your reading of the Bible, look around it and find out what occasioned the teachable moment. Find out what was happening. Peek around the corner of the verse. See who's standing in the shadows. Where did they come from? Why did Jesus suddenly use that moment to give a parable? Well, the context of this is very interesting. The context is the Sermon on the Mount. This is not just haphazardly thrown in as he walks along the road and sees a building that doesn't look in very good shape. He has been sitting on the most gorgeous piece of real estate in the world, on the Mount side, looking over Galilee. And he has been giving the Sermon on the Mount. Starts in chapter 5, and it finishes at the end of chapter 7. He has been talking about the most incredible things. He's been talking about humility, seeking after God with all your heart. He's been talking about integrity. He's been talking about bravery. When you're persecuted, jump up and down for joy. He's been talking about worry, telling people they are not to worry. He's been talking about treasure in heaven. He's been talking about spirituality, true spirituality, prayer. He's been talking about fasting. He's been talking about judging others. He's been talking about murder. He's been talking about divorce. He's been talking about oaths and curses. He's been talking about what the law says about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He's been talking about loving your enemies and giving to the needy. And at the end of all of that, he gives a parable. The end of all of that. So the context is the Sermon on the Mount. And when he says, those that hear my words, which words? Those words, chapter 5 to chapter 7. It had been straightforward commands. It had been straightforward instruction. If you're angry with your brother, it's as bad as killing him. Nobody could miss the point of anything he had been saying. So the context of this particular parable was thousands of people sitting on the hillside listening to the very famous Sermon on the Mount. That's the context. And at the end of it, he says, not every one of you who calls me Lord, Lord is going to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's the context of this. Just look before it for a few verses. He's been talking about, you'll know a tree by its fruit. Many will say to me on that day, the judgment day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice. Is like, etc., etc. And so here we have Jesus. The context of his teaching is this, and his parable, profession without performance, lip without life, no living it out, just taking it in. That's the context of this particular parable. He's teaching about the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. His will is revealed in his word. He's just been telling them what to do when you worry, what to do when you want to get divorced, what to do when you want to stay married, what to do when you curse somebody out, what to do when this happens, what to do when that happens. That's my will revealed in my word. And if you want to claim that you know the King of the Kingdom, then you'll do what you hear.
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth, and she's right back to answer some important questions about today's message. Revelation is a mysterious book of the Bible, but there is a beautiful message of hope for followers of Christ contained in this final book of Scripture. And as Christians, we should all examine what God intends for us to learn within its pages. With this in mind, Stuart Briscoe created his 8-message series called End Times, What's Going On, which we want to send you as our thanks for your gift of support today. Generous friends like you keep the teaching and resources of Telling the Truth going. So if you've never given before, please consider a gift today to help keep God's word going out around the world. And remember to request your copy of End Times when you call and give. We hope this powerful series helps you live with greater confidence as you discover God's plan and promises for the end times. Just call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's chat with Jill about a few key ideas from today's message. Jill, you love the quote that there can be no logic to prove the spiritual. Why does it have to be that way?
What I was trying to say is facts do not impact emotions. In fact, that's what I just said in the talk. And it's true. You get somebody really unhappy or really upset and they get emotionally overworked. You can logically point out this, that, and the other, but it just doesn't do anything. Not for a woman, no. I'm sure it's different for a man. I remember sitting reading the paper about to produce our first child. Stuart was sitting reading another part of the paper opposite me. And here we were in Manchester, England, and I suddenly panicked. I did not want to have this baby. I did not want to have it. I decided I would not have this baby. Seeing I was about to go into hospital and have the baby, this was futile thinking. So I began to weep quietly, which was my next line of defense. I did it quietly so Stuart would not see or hear me weeping, but he did. I can't weep quietly. And so he put the paper down and looked at me and said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I don't want to have this baby." He said, in typical male logic, "It's a bit late now." That did not impact my feelings or convince me of anything. So do you just try and be logic? No. As I say, it's pretty impossible if you're in trauma to be logical. But you can take a fact, as I've just said, a fact of Scripture, a promise of God or a warning of God, something about Jesus, something about yourself that you've been learning from the Bible reading that you've been doing, even that very moment. And you can take it and say very loudly, "I believe." When that belief filters down because you think about what you believe and not what you're feeling, it will impact your emotions in the end. It will calm you down. It takes time. But if you just keep saying, "But I believe, I feel this, Lord, but I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe." Read Lamentations chapter 3 and round about halfway through that chapter, just before the famous verse, "The Lord is full of compassions and they never fail. Great is thy faithfulness." That's a verse that you know. Just before that, you see Jeremiah emotionally distraught by what he's seeing of the sack of Jerusalem. And he changes his thought pattern and he says, "When I thought about all the bad stuff, this is what I felt. But then I start and thought about faith and God and compassion and love and presence. When I thought about that, oh, great is thy faithfulness." And the whole of his heart changes. So You think about the facts, and facts, in the end, when you insist on making those statements, I believe, I believe, I believe, Lord, do impact emotions eventually.
Thanks so much, Jill. Before we close today's broadcast, we want to remind you that when you call and give to help share God's word around the world, we'll send you Stuart Briscoe's 8-message series, End Times, as thanks for your support. This exciting series on the book of Revelation will help you unravel the mystery of the end times and fill you with hope as you prepare for Christ's return. So please request your gifts when you call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for listening today. We hope you'll join us again for more encouraging biblical truth with the Briscoes. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.